Get your day started right. This is Breakfast Beat with Ghulam Fakir and Sabira Sheikh Esop. Only on the Voice of the Cape.
So 7:44 is where we're at this morning, and we move along now to our next feature. Now, not many young people will know the story of Ibrahim Karosa, who was killed by apartheid police on the 11th of September, 1985. So to this day, 35 years ago, and like many other apartheid era murders, this one angered the Salt River community where Ibrahim had lived. Now, about 10,000 people attended his janazah, which brought many suburbs to a standstill. The Salt River Heritage Society plans to document his death. To tell us more about this significant moment in our community's history is the late Ibrahim Karosa's wife, and that is Auntie Jawaya Karosa. Good morning, assalamu alaikum, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
I'm very well this morning, Auntie Jawaya. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, let's start off by understanding, you know, not many people know the story of the martyrdom of Ibrahim Karosa. What happened on that fateful day?
I was working, and he was working, and I came home that day, and it was really quiet. And as I came home, they see that the people are burning the post office in Salt River.
Mm-hmm.
He was staying in Burns Road, number 8. And, okay, the night went well. And after about Maghrib, so the people start running. Children running. These people running. Police are running, chasing them. And my husband was going to a hujjaj that he's going to greet. And he went over to his friend, Ismail van der Skuyt, and he said that they two are going because it's his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And he went over the road, and my son Siraj was 11 years old, and he stood by the window. And I said to him that he must come away from the window because the people are running outside. They can't shoot and can't get hurt. So my husband went over. And as he went over, the police ran after him and went into that people's house and shot him in the head, in the kitchen. I just heard the shot as I was sitting in bed. Oh, I heard the shot.
Mm.
And they came over, and my son said, "Mommy, they shot Dara," because it's the police that went after Dara in that house.
Mm.
And he just came. And the people just came over to me, and they just picked me off. It's not nice to talk about it.
I know. Auntie Jawaya, you know, maybe let's move away from that particular day and let's just understand in terms of Ibrahim, you know, was he an activist being spied on, or was it just simply a case of mistaken identity?
He was just an ordinary man. He wasn't even a political man, nothing. He just worked for his boss, where he loved, worked in by lawyers, for lawyers, and he came home, and that was his that was his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were his life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time, you know, in terms of investigation, sort of finding out what happened, why did it happen, why did the police go after him, you know, did you get any answers at that point?
No, they said that he had something in his hand, he had this in his hand, a brick in his hand. He had nothing in his hand when he went over. He had his eat clothes on when he went out of there.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, how did the community, you know, at that time respond to the senseless murder? You know, what was their reaction like?
The community. Are you talking about me going to court or whatever?
No, the community at the time, so when the whole incident happened, you know, what did the community say? How did they react to the whole incident of, you know, the killing of Ibrahim?
They were very devastated. They were very devastated. They said that he was killed unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a life was taken unnecessary. And at that time, I wanted justice. I never got justice.
And then, so in terms of the policeman that shot Ibrahim, he was never held accountable, was he?
No, he got freed. We had the case, he got freed.
Now, this must have had a dramatic impact on your life. It must have been life-changing. How have you, you know, after all of these years, have to deal with the trauma of this event? You mentioned that your son was just 11 years old at the time. You know, as a mother, as a wife, how did you sort of deal with this?
It was very, very traumatic for me, very. Because my one son was only 5 years old. He hardly knew his father. And the other 11 and the other one 13. It was very hard for me to raise him. Actually, I had to work for them. I had to be mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a nice thing to do, to raise children on your own.
And, you know, like Ibrahim's story and what happened to him, his murder, there's so many other families like yourself as well, you know, that are still waiting for justice for their loved ones that were killed during apartheid. How do you feel about that?
I think it's very unfair that people don't get justice. It's very, very unfair. We need to get justice in our life. Mm-hmm. We need it. Because, I mean, if you kill someone, and you killed him for nothing. Everything is in vain. There's nothing going on. Nothing. You don't see nothing. You understand me?
Yes, and just finally, Auntie Joaya, you know, the last question for this morning. Your children, how have they sort of, you know, grown up in the sense of, do they understand what happened to their father now all these years ago? Do they talk about it? Have they had time to deal with this?
Yeah, they do talk about him. And now the other day, my grandchild said, Ma, who is Ibrahim Karlsson? Because it came up in the history. That was last year. It came up in the history in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that's your grandfather.
Wow.
They always miss him. They really miss him.
Well, Auntie Joaya, I just want to thank you for coming on and speaking to us this morning and sharing with us in terms of the story of the martyrdom of Ibrahim Karlsson, your husband. We thank you for your strength and your time. It is greatly appreciated and we wish you all of the best. And that was Auntie Joaya Karlsson speaking to us this morning on the martyrdom of Ibrahim Karlsson. Wow. Gee.
You know what, Sauda? I was listening to this interview and I'm thinking to myself, especially the last part, you know, besides the emotion and all that that comes with it.
Yeah.
I was listening to the last part. Imagine your grandson coming home and asking, who's Ibrahim Karlsson? He's got the same surname as me, for argument's sake, you know. Oh, no, that's your grandfather, you know, and he was part of your history lesson.
Sure.
And I think that is where the next part comes in.
You're tuned in to the Voice of the Cape, and this is Breakfast Beat.
The Shabbatin Romani of the Salt River Heritage Society, he talks to us now through a documentary that will be produced on the life of Ibrahim Karlsson. Shabbatin, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time. I mean, you must have caught the last part of that interview with Auntie Jawahir there, talking about the grandson coming. And I think this is sort of the importance of, you know, embarking to produce this documentary. Talk to us through this quickly, you know. Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I think as the Salt River Heritage Society, our purpose and function is essentially to kind of collate and collect information about the community, the Salt River community, and the unfortunate death of Ibrahim Karlsson is one of the kind of epoch events that transpired in the area. And, you know, typically, as Dr. Adams Busak said, you know, we are all kind of encouraged almost to unremember issues that happened to us. And this has been the history of the world. So it behoves us then to make sure that we record the incidences that affected us as a community. And that is why one of the kind of targets of the Salt River Heritage Society is to produce information, recorded and archive the information for future generations. As it's touching that the grandson asks, who is Ibrahim Karlsson? If there is a record of the incident in the format, for example, of a documentary, nobody will ever forget the incident and make sure that it doesn't happen again. That's the purpose. So the Heritage Society, amongst many other projects that we're busy with, is looking to putting together a script, obviously, and find the funding to produce a documentary of this nature. It doesn't have to be a high-budget, high-value kind of project, but just a project to make sure that we record the incident, make sure that if there is an opportunity to find justice for Auntie Joaya and the family, then maybe that should be done. And that's part of what we are pursuing at this point in time. Now, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but hopefully, you know, we'll try and do it as quickly as possible.
So talk to us in terms of the concept, you know, with regards to producing this thing. Will it be, you know, through by means of interviews or, you know, archive material, or will it be through stage production, you know? How will it be conceptualized?
Well, for now, my thoughts are that it should be a docudrama kind of thing with interviews. Okay. Maybe live footage of some of the events that transpired, and then also seeing that Auntie Joaya is still with us, alhamdulillah, an interview with her, so that record is permanent. I had the privilege of speaking to Siraj, the younger son, yesterday at the Kabristan. He could tell his own story because he saw his father cross the road and entering the house of the neighbor opposite, and shouted at his mom at the time to say, "Mommy, they're chasing my daddy."
Right.
So that's important. And for us to record that, that's one incident. And we must remember that as the procession moved up Browning Street in the observatory, this policeman pulled out a gun and shot Timmy Lakay in the stomach. And as a result, he was murdered on the site, or killed on the site. Perhaps murdered is the wrong word to use. And that kind of, you know, allows us to build a story around the event itself in a much, much larger way. So it's an interesting concept, and we're hoping, you know, we'll find somebody to fund the opportunity. We've got enough people on our committee who are experts at doing this kind of stuff. And inshallah, who knows, you know, we'll pull it off.
Inshallah. We're going to have to leave it there, though. There was so much. Can I give you 30 seconds just to answer one more thing? But we won't be able to delve too much more into it. Yeah, but is there a way that the community can support this project?
When there's an appeal for perhaps of funding, reach out, please. That'll be important.
Great stuff. Shukran so much, and I appreciate your time this morning. Shabuddin Romani from the Salt River Heritage Society. I appreciate your time, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.